It was called The War to Make the World Safe for Democracy, and our boys went over to foreign lands to die in their thousands of thousands. Some things have not changed. I guess not enough young people have died to make the world safe for democracy, whatever that means. At that time, the Secretary of War, and the title is a little bit more truthful than Secretary of Defense, the Secretary of War, under the perfectly appalling President Wilson, was a certain Newton Baker. Now, back then, they still had some sense of decency about the young people they sent off to be maimed and killed in these wars. And this man was good about visiting hospitals. One time he visited a veteran in a particularly a heart-wrenching case. This young man had had both of his legs blown off and one of his arms. He similarly had lost his sight, and his face was terribly disfigured. No one expected him to survive. Sometime after visiting the veterans' hospital, he asked an employee there, "Whatever happened to that boy that I saw, the one who was in such bad shape?" "Oh, he got better," the employee said. "He got better?" "Why, yes. He's out now, and he married his nurse." And Baker, the war secretary, never forgot that story. Nourished in his heart a kind of an admiration for that nurse who, with a selfless love, had seen that young man back to health and then fallen in love with him herself and married him. But in time, the incident receded to the back of his memory. He was also, in addition to being a cabinet member, he was also one of the trustees of John Hopkins University. And one spring he received word that the commencement exercises, there would be a degree of Doctor of Philosophy awarded to one of his war veterans, a young man who had done a research paper of remarkable erudition, such, they say, that very few had ever reached that intellectual level before. Now imagine the war secretary's surprise when there he sat upon the stage and wheeled across the stage to receive his degree was that same young man whom he had seen in such a pitiable state in the hospital years before. William Harrison Craig was his name, legless and one-armed, to receive the adulation of everyone in the crowd and to receive his degree. And back in Baker's mind was the thought, he owes it all to her, to that one woman, to that woman that nursed him and with generous love fell in love with him, even though she had nothing to gain from such an alliance herself. And he could not help think that love had given new hope to the sightless eyes of that young man and strength to a crippled and a mangled body. That is true. I think that even on a natural level, we who depend so much upon machinery and drugs and the rest of it, we forget even on a natural level the healing value that can come when one human being tenderly nurses another and fills that other person in his suffering with a human hope. If that is the case, and it certainly is, there are many examples of that from daily life, imagine the hope that is inspired in our heart by our Blessed Lady, who is truly the health of the sick. She does more than just be there and love us and see to us. She it is who can see to the healing of a mind or of a body, and most of all, the healing of a soul. When we honor Our Lady, and I wanted to speak this Lent a bit about Our Lady under this title, Salus Infirmorum, Our Lady, the Health of the Sick, since we dedicate this Lent to Our Lord, the Divine Physician. When we honor Our Lady under this title, it means more than we pray to her when we are sick so that we will get better and it won't hurt anymore and our former health will return to us. The first way in which Our Lady heals us is with her beauty, with her radiant love. And just as you won't get a suntan unless you go out when the sun is shining, so too you won't feel the effects of Our Lady's love unless you go to her, spend time with her, get to know her. Sometimes, you know, the very best thing to do when we are sick and broken in spirit or in body or in soul is simply to sit by Mary. Let her take care of you. Let her nurse you back into health again. Surely she will. She is the health of the sick. She is the mother of the little child, the doctor of the sick, the divine physician. How often did Our Lady see Our Lord heal the sick, give sight to those who were blind and healing deaf ears, restoring speech to those who could not? She saw Our Lord do all of this, and how often did she intercede, and Our Lord never once refused her prayer. So it is still today. The answer to many a prayer is simply the presence of the mother of the divine physician. Our Lady is also the health of the sick under the title whereby we honor her today, Our Lady of Sorrow. Our Lady witnessed suffering at its very worst in the passion and the death of her own son. She did more than witness it. She lived it in a spiritual sense, but feeling absolutely every pang of physical, emotional, or spiritual pain that racked her son's flesh and soul. She felt in her immaculate heart. You will never go to Mary and find that she doesn't know what you're talking about. Whatever sorrow it is, Our Lady has already suffered it. And you will never leave Mary's company without feeling better, without feeling stronger, without feeling more at peace. That is the wonderful promise of her who is the mother of sorrows and the health of the sick. She is compassionate, she is understanding, she is sympathetic towards all who suffered. She suffered, and suffered so terribly for us. Now, as interested as Our Lady is in the health of all of her children, all of our woes and all of our problems and our difficulties, and as eager as Our Lady is to spare us, her children, any undue suffering, she even more so is interested in the health of our souls. Did you know that the scapular saint, Simon Stock, the Carmelite, called Our Lady the medicine of sinners? And Saint Ephrem calls her robust health for those who have recourse to her. Just as Jesus was concerned for the souls of men, so is His Blessed Mother in heaven now, concerned for all of her children still in this veil of tears. There is another way, last of all, in which Our Lady truly is health of the sick. By her example, by her virtue, by her intercession, Our Lady is constantly leading out of the sickness of sin. We've seen already this Lent the close interrelation between sickness of the soul and sickness of the body. In many cases, Our Lady is leading out from the sickness of sin those who have recourse to her, those who are praying to Mary, receive her assistance. And furthermore, Our Lady is practicing a great dose of preventative medicine. It's surely the goal for any doctor, any health care professional, we'd say today, to be able to do that, to train the patient to be able to look after his own health so that he'll stay healthy, so that he won't get sick. How many does Our Lady preserve in the path of virtue by her intercession? How many does Our Lady encourage and guide and remind to follow the rules towards the path of good spiritual health by her presence, by her motherly advice, by her guidance? Our Lady is in every respect the health of the sick. It's a nice human story, that this man who was involved in this wretched war machine, that he had a heart, and he was touched by seeing that poor maimed veteran, and he honored that nurse in her selfless love and never forgot her. Our Blessed Mother does far more for far more, and we know it to be so true. Now, here we are in the hospital. That's what church is. That's what Lent is, these 40 days. We're all in the clinic with Dr. Jesus, and Our Blessed Mother, see her, a true Florence Nightingale, going from bed to bed, checking on each one of the patients. Look at yourself tonight. I mean, in the mirror of your own soul. You don't need a light to do that. You just need the light of your conscience. You're deformed. You're ugly. You've got a soul who has a face which only a mother could love. Thank God we have such a mother. She doesn't mind if we're maimed or lame or blind or can't speak or hear. She doesn't mind any deformity that would make anybody else turn the other way. Our Lady takes a good long look, and she smiles, a restorative look of love. She is your mother, and she loves you. What Our Lady is doing for you, your mother of sorrows, and you've caused those sorrows in her heart, what Our Lady is doing for you this Lent, and pray God, she will do it for many, many souls this Holy Week that opens on Sunday morning, is to love us, sick, deformed, maimed ones, to love us back to health again. Love her back again, won't you? God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.